Hello, listeners, and welcome to the iWin podcast. Don't forget to check us out on the web at www.iwin.ie. Today, I'm talking to Ian White, who is a specialist in lean. And in case you're worried about what exactly that is, don't worry, he's here to explain it all to us. Now, not all of us necessarily know what lean is, but thankfully, Ian is going to explain it all to us. Now, my own understanding of lean in lay terms is basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to maximize the value of the inputs that we're using, and we're trying to reduce waste. Now, every business wants to maximize profit and wants to operate as efficiently as possible. But from what I gather about lean as an ideology or an ethos or a way of doing things, it's quite specialist and there is a little bit to it. So maybe you could explain to the listeners what we mean when we say lean.
Okay, well, there's basically five principles of lean thinking. So the first one is specify value from the customer's point of view. So anything that the customer is willing to pay for is value. And then identify all the steps in the value stream and eliminate every action that doesn't create value. So what you're trying to say is if you look at a value stream starts, it's like a clock that starts as soon as somebody rings you and places an order. And that keeps going through all the stages until you deliver the product. So you pick up the phone, you write it down, maybe it's 24 hours before you get back to that order, you put it on your system, you send someone out to the customer, whatever your process is, all that is part of the value stream. And okay, the only parts of that that start to add value is when you're actually doing something that the customer has to pay for. So when you're taking a piece of material, you're cutting it to size, you're machining it, you're spraying it, they're the parts that are adding value. And all the other activities are non-value. And so lean is about looking at them and trying to reduce them. Okay. So if you're processing something and you batch process and you leave things on the ground for a day or two, that's time. That's part of your value stream. So a lot of people think that's about speeding up the value adding process, where it's actually about removing non-value added process. So you're trying to create a flow, so a nice momentum through the company, cut out stops and starts. You're trying to let the customer pull the product through your company, and you're trying to pursue perfection, eliminate waste through continuous improvement.
Well, it's interesting what you say about the continuous improvement. So obviously, this idea of lean is an ongoing process, and it's an evolving process then that it has to be continuously looked at, if you know what I mean. You don't kind of do something and then stop. If your process is to change in any way, you have to look at it through this lens. Or am I misunderstanding what you're saying?
No, you're not. If you imagine, again, go back to your total value stream, so the amount of time it takes to process an order, say for a kitchen or windows or doors, whatever it is, and in reality that timeline could take 3 weeks. So you're trying to look at how can we shorten that? So do we speed up our changeovers? Do we, what gaps are in production? So you have the eat, waste, lean that help guide people through the waste that take place in the factory. So people waiting for information, material not in the right place at the right time. All these things add to the amount of time it takes to get the order from start to finish. So continuous improvement is, you won't fix everything in your value stream in a week or a month or a year. So continuous improvement is continuously going back and looking at what can we improve to reduce that timescale and to create flow. So you're trying to help your staff work more smoothly by constantly looking at things that are slowing them down. So your job is to remove obstacles to their workday. So okay, that's why how it has to be continuous.
And also just a couple of points there. In relation to process, then it's not necessarily lean in terms of using less material, or you know, in our case, maybe less plywood paneling or whatever it is we're using. But it's the whole process from, as you say, writing things down. It's the whole way in which you do things is the whole process is looked at, and the people involved. It's not just one thing or the other. It's a whole selection of things.
Well, yeah, it's a whole process. So from your sales staff to take the order all the way through to your drawing team, how quickly they're doing it, how many revisions they have, why are they revising things, go to your purchasing department, out to your factory floor, Are people, is there a schedule in place? A lot of companies, they're not able to plan today's production, never mind tomorrow's. So I would go out to a factory floor and I'd ask people what they're doing next. And it's a good gauge to see, do they understand what's happening around them? So in lean, things should be obvious. You shouldn't have to ask what you're doing next. It should be obvious. And things should be planned so you don't have to go looking for stuff. So all the different systems in lean are there to help you see waste and eliminate them. So like the 8 waste lean, like the 5S systems, they're there to guide you to areas of inefficiency.
Okay. And I mean, we can see some of the potential benefits without even asking the question. But to your mind, what would some of the key benefits of implementing lean for a business be?
The main benefits. So lean is a culture, and it's a culture of continuous improvement, but also of working together as a team. So it's based on respect for people. So it encourages it's a necessity that people talk to each other. They see where they, what their part of the overall system is and respect each other's part. So when you get a good lean system in, it helps show managers and teams the complexity of your processes. It helps to create more efficient business processes, helps to manage change. People get used to change. If you're continuously improving, you're continuously changing, so people aren't afraid to change, because change is very hard on your brain. People don't like change when they get into a habit. Lean kind of always, you're always breaking habit because you're constantly looking at what you're doing and seeing can you improve it and tweaking it. So you're always in the mindset that you're acceptable to change, you're open to change.
So you might say lean is kind of then dynamic in a way, and I like what you're saying about it being a culture whereby everybody is involved. I mean, it's good for teamwork and for business culture overall, among other things.
Yeah, I mean, the golden rule of lean is it's the experts are the people who do the work every day. So you can't fix problems from an office. You have to go out and look on the shop floor and or draw an office, wherever you're looking for the issues. And you have to put yourself in their position and watch what somebody's doing, because you won't be able to see the obstacles to that person. They're the only person that knows that. And they're the skilled at their job. So they're the expert. So lean is about going out and talking to them, seeing what problems they're suffering with and helping them to remove those issues. So it's about training, it's about coordination, teamwork, and embedding that in your system.
Okay, so how would a company go about beginning to implement lean? Now, obviously, you're an expert in lean and you can go in and you can advise them. Is there anything that a business can do itself? Is there any templates they can use? Do they need expert assistance, at different levels? If you could kind of walk us through it.
So starting off, the best way is you need everybody trained. So normally I do maybe somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours training with everybody in the factory, everybody in the company, ideally. And it's just so everybody can focus on what value and non-value activities are. They understand what they are. And then they go back out in the factory or into their office and they're able to see or feel it. They understand that what I'm doing right now is non-value added. And why am I walking up the end of this factory for a drill, whereas it should be on the bench beside me? Or why am I going into the office looking for information? Why isn't it presented to me in the right format? So it's people need to understand and feel what waste is before they can look at improving it. Then you try and observe each person's work area and help them kind of see the lean themselves, or to see the waste themselves. They'll have spent maybe a week or 2 weeks thinking about this. So then you'll go down, you'll discuss it with them and see, well, where are you finding the problems or the issues? And they always know. They'll come to you with 20 things. I'm not an expert on, I'm not a cabinet maker or something like that. But when you go down to somebody who's an expert, they'll give you an awful lot of things that are slowing them down that they've never thought of. The training is just to open their mind and recognize part of their normal daily routine, that's waste and that can be improved. So once they see that, then they start coming up with solutions of how to do it. So then you want to try and set them up in small teams to give them little projects. as a way of practicing lean, because it's a skill. So you can't, it's not something you can just wave a magic wand and everybody understands it. You need to struggle, really. You need to give them a project and then see, well, how, okay, we can see the problem you have, and how are you going to come up with a solution? And give them another week or two to think about that. It's very helpful to take before and after photographs or videos, so people can go back and look at where to, you know, can maybe look at the pictures in the office, and you kind of go, God, yeah, I never really noticed that when you're at the shop floor, because you're so used to looking at it. Same thing with videos. It's very often helpful just to take a little video of what you're doing, go into an office or a canteen and rewatch the video out of context and help to see all the waste involved. And after that, you're trying to, the golden goose really is trying to create flow. So all these things with your 5S and getting the place tidy, get rid of anything that's not in your workplace, and get rid of movement and all the obvious things. But a lot of people stop when they get to a certain area. They have the place nice and tidy. Everybody has a place for the tools, place for everything. Everything is placed, and they think that's lean. But that's only scrape. You know, that's only the very starting point of it. What you're really trying to look at then is the flow of material through your factory. So if you imagine writing, if you are a piece of timber that arrives off the back of a truck tomorrow, and you're put in a racking system in the factory, what's your experience as a piece of timber? What's your experience going to be as it goes through the factory? How long is it going to take? Are you going to be there for 3 months? Or are you going to arrive that morning and be gone in the afternoon? So the flow through the factory is where you gain most gains.
Okay, well, I think one of the interesting things about what you're saying at a very basic level is that when you go into a factory and you go to look at process, you are a fresh pair of eyes. Now, you're saying that the people who are there, they are the experts. But it's my experience that sometimes it's a good idea to have a new set of eyes on something, that they, and then between you, you can work things out a little bit better. You know, you might see something that they haven't seen, and they might be able to bring your attention to something that you might not necessarily be aware of. Does that make sense to you?
It does. When I say they're the experts in their area, so they're experts at making whatever it is they're making. But what I see then is what's stopping them from progressing. So, you know, do they have all the information? Do they have all the drawings? Do they have all the timber? Do they have to keep going and looking for things? Are they queuing up waiting for a machine? You know, is the whole thing planned out so they don't have to leave their area to do their job? So if they're constantly having to leave and come back to their work area, that's ringing alarm bells at me. Why are they doing this?
Okay, it's interesting. What's it then would be some of the most common types of waste that you'd come across, you know, in our industry when you're going into factories?
Definitely the most common thing is reprioritization, so changes, so constant changes. People are starting a job, and they've only just set up, they've a little bit start, and then someone comes along and say, no, we need this in a hurry. This has to go out today or has to go out in the morning. And you can never get flow. So if you imagine, you know, if you imagine you're trying to travel from Cork to Belfast, the obvious thing to do is just jump on a motorway and go straight up the road. Whereas a lot of companies, they're taking the back roads, they're not filling the car full of petrol, they have to stop, you know, put 10 euros worth of petrol in each time, and are constantly stopping and starting. So that's slowing down your overall journey time. What we're trying to aim for is to get everything through the factory in the shortest possible time.
Yeah, it's kind of like a strategic sort of a thing then as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to plan ahead. I mean, you can't be, if you're working hour to hour or even day to day, how can you possibly have things organized so it'll flow smoothly? You're not given, like, the employee doesn't have a chance if they're constantly jumping from one job to another. The whole aim is to keep everything going slow and steady, and slow and steady wins the day, rather than rushing around, going back and forth to different things, constantly changing.
Yeah, so it is then as well kind of organization and focus. It's like you say, you start a job that your employee should be in a position to start that job and to be able to focus on that job and finish it without being called back and forth away from it.
Yeah, if that's the plan. I mean, the jobs might be huge, and you might allocate 2 or 3 hours to a job. But you should, if that's what you've allocated, then you can leave gaps in their daily schedule if you think there's, you know, samples need to be made or something has to be redone. But do have a plan. Sit down the day before and write down what these people are going to do, and have a discussion the evening before that morning. Make sure everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, if somebody goes to their machine to do work and they find they don't have the material there beside them, they don't have the correct information, they don't have the correct tools, then already you've lost time. And the whole thing with lean, that's all non-value activity. And the whole thing with lean is to eliminate that.
Well, I know a lot of this we've discussed is working together. It's culture. It's being a team. But there has to be something guiding that, apart from obviously the principle of lean. So how important would you say leadership is in the successful implementation of lean?
Leadership is crucial. It's crucial, and a lot of people suffer because the manager, the owner, is actively involved in, you know, today's production. And a lot of the time, they're maybe the people that are causing some of the changes. They haven't the time. So a leader, a proper leader, they should provide a motivating purpose, provide direction to their employees. They should be able to provide a system where they can judge people's tasks and progress, so people know what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to achieve. It can't be, you know, if you turn up to work today and you have really no goals, well, you're never going to be very efficient. So you need to have goals and targets. So it takes a bit of working out to see what the factory is actually able to produce today. But you need also then to create and maintain a good atmosphere, a good group unity where people aren't going to be shouted at for getting things wrong or blamed. I mean, the one golden rule of lean is you don't pass on issues or problems. So if there's a mistake made, you should be able to raise your hand straight away and fix it there and then. Don't pass it on. Don't be afraid that you're going to get given out to. As a team effort, you shouldn't be passing that on to somebody up the line to find, because it's much harder to fix if it's in somebody's house or if it's in this office being painted or something like that. So group unity is about allowing people the confidence to say that they'll be supported if they make an error, and everyone will help fix that. And the last thing then is people are individuals, so you need to pay attention to people. You should be walking around your factory. You should know the people, and they have their own lives, and they come to work to earn a few pounds. And ideally, they will appreciate any training they get, any progression, any career progression they can get in the company. So in the end of the day, people are individuals. So they're kind of the four main aspects that you need to focus on to get the most out of your people.
Okay, and then what could the biggest challenges that companies face when they're beginning their lean journey, what would some of those challenges be? Because, I mean, as we say, it's a process, it's a journey, it's continuous. So when they're facing into the beginning of this journey, what are some of the biggest challenges that you'd come across?
So the biggest challenge is time. It's getting people to be able to sit down and think about lean, because they're so busy. They're running around because they, again, the reprioritization, they're always chasing something. So it's kind of a chicken and an egg. You have to give the time to be able to sit down and work things out logically. You're trying to get your processes under control, and you have to start with at least getting your time management under control, being able to plan a day's production. And then you get into kind of controlling your machines, your maintenance, your process, your training. But it starts with your time management, because if you're running around like a headless chicken all the time, answering phone calls, seeing customers, you can't ever get out of that. That's a terrible whirlwind to get caught up in. So you have to just try and see, where can I give a few hours a week for this, and then allocate that to your people. So once you start to get into lean process, you'll see that the benefit of it is that you're able to delegate work. I mean, somebody who comes in and works the machine should have the information there to be able to do that on their own. They shouldn't be waiting to be told. They should have the training, the machinery, and everything there for them. And then the manager then should be working on tomorrow's order. So it should be a little bit more calm. They're not running about worrying about today's. And the leader of the company then, or the managing director, should be focused, you know, a month down the road. looking at what orders are coming in, what material needs to be bought. You need to get out of the daily whirlwind to be able to organize things properly.
There seems to be like a bit of psychology in this. And I know myself that you can get very caught up in the day to day and you're kind of, as you say, running around, you know, the panic, that in order to kind of start thinking about lean and to implement it and for businesses to discuss it with you, they kind of need to just, you know, take their foot off the throttle for a minute and take a step back and, you know, not to be always running around. I mean, it is very interesting what you're saying.
No, if you walk into a lean company, you want to judge it lean. You'll see it as calm, it's controlled. There'll be lots of information around the factory as to where things should be, what orders are being processed, what orders, you know, how much time is allocated to different orders. It should be nice and calm, and maybe, you know, panic. Nobody works well under panic. It's not efficient. So if you are panicking, you have to start saying, well, why is this? And, you know, one of the techniques is to ask why five times to find a root cause of something, whether it's, you know, mechanical or it's in the office or organization. So why are we in this situation? And start from there and start trying to figure out what you can do to break this down and organize it correctly.
So when you go into a business, then we'll say somebody calls you and you're just being introduced. How do you go about then helping companies with their lean journey? I mean, where do you start off? I mean, some of this we've discussed, but just to round it off, if you kind of give us a kind of a walkthrough of how you help them from the outset, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so the first thing is training, because until people have gotten a small amount of training, then they're not the same wavelength. So you're just trying to calibrate people, give them a little bit of training so they can see the waste in their environment. And then motivation is a big thing, showing people that they can do it. The fact that I've seen a lot of companies, I know that they can do it. I've seen it in other places. So sometimes people don't have the vision that I have because I've seen it. So it's explaining to them that they're not the first ones to have this problem or this struggle. And it is it's easy to get out of. It just takes a bit of time and effort. So then I'll help them put systems in place, figure out what kind of projects we can start on to learn from. And then say you want to try and keep to establish flow. So, you know, get rid of any kind of large stops in the factory and try and reduce batch processing as much as you can. And then another thing is just help document procedures. Or a lot of people now, they don't have training in place. And you'll find that if you have key staff, I mean, what happens if they leave tomorrow? They should leave for some reason. You've lost all their knowledge. And people tend to expect to hire people now with certain skills. And I think those days are gone. So you need to get, you know, while you have good people in your factory, video them doing the processes, document them that way, and then use them to train new people. Training is very, very important. And I think that's where people are suffering. They're hiring people now, and they might even be from a woodworking background, and they don't have any kind of training systems that they can put them through to show them the simplest of processes. So it's key to document that. And then, of course, for continuous improvement, you look at your documented procedures and you keep going back to them and saying, how can we improve this system? But first, you need to document them.
I was just going to say, it's interesting what you're saying about training and about the potential for somebody to be highly trained and then leave. Training, you've seen it as well. I mean, it comes up continuously. You're making the point that people are possibly going into places with no woodworking background, and then you could have somebody who is an absolute expert there for years, and the next thing they leave and you've lost that knowledge. So it's just picking up on the training point. It's very interesting what you were saying about making training videos and things. Just something I picked up on, that just is an interesting idea to keep the knowledge within the business, you know?
Yeah, well, you see, a lean company is all about developing people, and that's part of it. So again, you're going back to people don't have time or amount of people to leave with somebody to get to training, but at least document it and video it in a manner that when you do have time, you can go back and train people. But I think people are going to have to face up to the fact they're going to have to do a lot more training than they used to, because I don't see, unless the economy changed drastically, I don't see where they're getting the new people from.
Okay, it's very interesting. I, from my side, I'm very happy so far. Is there anything that you can that you could add, or any summary of key points that you could put in, or are you happy enough yourself?
I just, one of the things I don't know that I say it correctly at the start, is that, you know, if you put yourself in the position of your employee and you feel like, what are their struggles? How can we help them improve and make their job easier? So if you provide your workers with a confused and inefficient system, then you can't expect a good process to come out of that. So the lean is, you know, the way I'd summarize it is trying to make things as simple as possible for the employee in advance. So if you have allocated 8 hours a day, you'd expect, you know, people are going to do maybe 7 hours work. But if two of those hours are roaming around looking for stuff or asking questions or going up and down to the stores or going into personal department saying, when is this glass going to be delivered or whatever it might be, you're losing an awful lot of production. And lean, the benefit of lean is not what the amount of money that you pay your staff per hour gained. It's the profit you have on your sales. So if you can put an extra, if you do 6 months of lean and you can put through two or three extra kitchens, it's the profit on those kitchens is the gain, not the hours that you've saved paying your staff. Nothing to do with that. So it's all about, if you look at the timeline from start to finish, the shorter you can make that timeline, the more those products you can put through your factory and make profit on.
So the result of lean then is overall, it's a value add. It is a, apart from everything else, it is a profit tool. Could we say that?
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, a lot of people make, you know, you could make 20 to 40% efficiency increases through some of the factories by getting organized. And obviously then the more, and actually, if you think about it, the more expensive your product, some companies that make a lot of profit on their products think they don't need to be lean. We're making loads of money, but they will benefit more because they'll get more of that product out the door at that higher profit margin.
So in just one other question, what kind of monetary gains are there from implementing lean?
Well, the main gains, I mean, people might have the impression that the gain is just, if you save 5 hours a week, that's 5 hours salary you've saved. But actually what you've done is you've freed up 5 hours of manufacturing time. And so it's the profit you gain on that product you've manufactured in that extra 5 hours is your profit. So that could be thousands of pounds, depending on what you're making. So that's the real gain.
Industry 4. I don't know how much experience you have of Industry 4, but I read recently that in order to implement Industry 4, a lot of businesses should implement lean first as a first point of call, because perhaps there is a pathway from lean to Industry 4, because Industry 4 basically is going to be lean, more efficient. And if you're going to take that step into Industry 4, that you should kind of look at lean as a stepping stone. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, Industry 4, like if you're going down that road, you're going to be almost a computer controlled factory. So everything has been a lot more, you know, the procedures are a lot more like a computer program. I'd often look at lean like a computer program. And if you're going down a line of code and then there's a problem, everything stops.
Yeah.
So you know that if you have flow in your factory, it can go from start to finish without stops. But if you haven't got that and you start putting in Industry 4 and machines that talk to each other and different things, it wouldn't be possible. Like if you can't write down what you're going to make tomorrow, how are you going to program your machines to do that?
We can leave it there. I have to say, Ian White, thanks very much for talking to me. It's much appreciated.
No problem. Thanks, William.